Hey, by the way, on our next Coast to Coast program, Nick Begich joins us. We're going to talk about HAARP, what the heck is going on with that, CERN as well, and some other fascinating things on our next Coast to Coast show. When we come back, more with Zenithin as we talk about Journey to Truth on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Zenithin is with us tonight. We'll take calls a little bit later on Coast to Coast as well. As we were talking about spirit and soul, there is no doubt, you're right, that science has weighed the body, and when someone dies and when the soul leaves, the body weighs a little less.
It's absolutely, the 21 grams. Mm-hmm.
It is a wonder.
Yeah, it is. And these, these things are now being studied by quantum physicists that are actually observing the moment when physical material turns into a wave and becomes a particle.
Absolutely. Hey, by the way, you mentioned that Gandhi was born in South Africa. He worked in South Africa, spent a lot of his years there, but he was born in 1869, and I'm pretty sure in a small western village of India called Bangor.
You know what, George? I'm glad you brought that out, and I want to say namaste to all of my Hindu friends, but a friend called me during the break and informed me that it was Porbandar, India.
Yep.
And, I want to also mention Paramahansa Yogananda and his work, Autobiography of a Yogi, which is another foundational book that everyone should read on their metaphysical evolution.
You bring up, now this is where we get into science and scary science, that around this time period of 2012, we're getting close to a black hole, and that the sun is going to be in the same area. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, we are in a spaceship that's called our solar system, and, wherever the sun goes, we go with it, and we are making a trip across the Milky Way galaxy, and on December 21st, 2012, on the winter solstice, we're going to be in the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and there is a black hole there. Now, whether we get close enough to be, sucked into the event horizon, whether we'll be affected by it, no one really knows. But that is a fact of astrophysics.
And science doesn't seem to be too concerned about it. Or are they? Maybe that's why they're building these underground bunkers and cities and things like that, huh?
Well, yeah, and especially noteworthy is the one that is being built by Norway, which is over 4,000 feet deep in solid rock. And it's being built just south of the North Pole. And they're putting seeds and DNA from essentially everything on Earth. It's being called the Ark.
Which probably is smart, but I wonder if they know something we really don't know.
Well, and therein lies the big question is, if they know something, would they tell us? And then if you were in their shoes and you knew something and that something would set off some kind of panic, would you tell everybody else?
Well, that's an interesting paradox. Put yourself in the power position for a moment that you have the responsibility to save as many people as you can. Maybe it's 20,000. Maybe it's 5,000. And that would probably include your family and the people you care about. Do you go public and just simply say, look, we have built this complex because the planet will end the way we know it today. Only 5,000 Earthlings will be allowed to go there. And you're not one of them.
Right.
I think people would go ballistic, don't you?
Well yeah, especially considering there are 7 billion people. And you're only going to be able to house 5,000? Yes, the numbers are going to be staggering.
The moment you told them where this underground facility was, people would show up by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, to try to break down the doors and get in.
And therein lies, human nature in the current physical world. And that's why if we're going to survive whatever comes, if we're going to get through whatever happens, we must evolve to a higher metaphysical level where we are not going to react and panic. You know, if we would study the technologies and study the science that we're currently seeing, we're on the brink of, we might be able to solve some of these problems, like, for example, the problem of gravity. Now, if we had the ability to travel through gravity states with very little resistance or no resistance, then a lot of this stuff would not be a problem.
Would you want to live if you couldn't, for example, if you have a son, take the little kid to a baseball game, or, you know, go out with your family or see your friends? Instead, you would be living an existence of survival. You know, you'd be in an underground cavern, and you'd be there. You'd try to repopulate the planet, maybe, but you'd have to stay there for years and years and years. I'm not sure I'd want to live that way.
Well, right, and you know, they're kind of doing that right now. I don't know if you saw the Soviet astronauts that volunteered for this Mars expedition, mm-hmm. and they're going to determine if a human can spend 18 months in a space capsule flying to Mars. And so they're basically going to take, I don't know, 8 or 10 cosmonauts and lock them in a chamber for 18 months to test the theory.
They'll go crazy. Unless, you know, if they can give them, you know, the actual visualization, for example, of something, you know, they might last a few days, a week, maybe a month. I don't think they're going to last a year and a half.
A year and a half is a very long time.
Yep. Now, is that just one way?
That's one way. Yeah, It's not a round trip.
They got to come back. That's another one. It's a long trip.
Well, but once you make it to Mars, you might as well just keep going, right?
Yeah, that's true, too. Maybe they're going to stay. Maybe
that's another funny part about this. You bring this up, and we're kind of making fun, but I was struck a couple of years ago. I was listening to a radio show, and this person was talking about all gloom and doom, and that the last, the last thing to save the human race will be to move to Mars. And I'm thinking, if that's your best plan, then we're in trouble.
That was probably our show.
It may well have been. And I've been listening to you for quite some time, and I really have enjoyed your show over the years. Also, I wanted to make a note of your book as well, which I enjoyed, and the Worker in the Light,
mm-hmm.
and all the events that you documented here, which, you know, is evidence of the metaphysical world.
My mission, Zenithen, is to do much like you've been doing, and that is to try to get people aware that they may not be able to solve the ills of the planet in total,
right.
but you sure can work on your own problems.
Well, that's it, and I come back to the quote, you know, be the change in the world that you want.
Yeah.
You know, you need to become the human being that you want to be the example for everybody else.
Let's look at the real possibilities of what could happen on planet Earth around 2012. And again, I agree with you. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. You know, it's a Friday night, and I've invited a million guests on that night, and we're going to be here. And I suspect that when the clock ticks and gets us into December 22nd, we're going to still be on the air.
That's more than likely, yes.
And we just move on. But in your view, what are the possibilities? What are out there? What do the Hopis say? What are the
I will tell you. Well, I will tell you what you know, what's being studied. I mean, let's stay in the science realm.
All right.
And these are what governments are studying right now.
This is real, right?
This is absolutely real, sure. And you know, evidence that it has happened in the past to planet Earth. Okay, so first we have our solar system flying by this black hole. That's the first big thing, and that's going to affect everything, the sun and all the planets, all right, okay. If it does have an effect. But let's look at the effect that is going to be possible on planet Earth and what's been happening. Okay, and there are really three things that can happen on planet Earth. One is the axis of rotation changes, which is what happened 5,000 years ago, the potential for that happening is very real.
Okay.
The second is that the polar magnetic fields reverse because they keep getting closer. The positive keeps getting closer and closer to the positive.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that when they touch, they're going to repel.
Now, that would that be abrupt or would it be gradual?
Well, we don't know. We think it would probably be pretty abrupt because magnetic energy is very powerful once it gets to that point of repelling.
I mean, because the magnetic poles have shifted somewhat already.
That's
correct.
They're moving closer together. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
And they've been studying that ever since about 1950. So what that would do, you know, the first one turns the Earth a little bit kind of on its side. That's the axis. The second one is going to flip it upside down if those poles reverse. So that's the second possibility.
All right.
And then the third possibility is they're currently, you know, inside the Earth, there is this molten rock. And the molten rock, there's an iron core to the center of the Earth. And this molten rock has been spinning around that iron core. And that creates the magnetic poles and creates the rotation of the Earth, which allows it to orbit away from the sun in a consistent basis.
Now we have a real problem if something happens to that core.
That is correct. And the core has been speeding up and speeding up and speeding up on a measurable level over the last 30 years.
That's interesting.
And what science says is that there is a potential that it will reach a point where it will stop and go the other way.
And like a reverse rotation.
That's basically correct. Just like a reverse, it'll stop and then it'll spin back the other way. Now, if that happens, that's going to be very significant because at the moment of stopping, there is no gravity.
Off we go.
Off we go. And therein lies, you know, a rationale for having a space station or having airplanes that can fly outside of the Earth's atmosphere.
When you think of all the reasons and things that have had to occur for us to live on this planet, it's absolutely astronomical, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We beat the odds. But the thing is, we beat the odds because we evolved and we became smarter and more adaptable. And we are not doing that right now. And that is the point of my foundation and the point of my book and my work is that we need to get intelligent human beings together with resources and start addressing some of these potentials because they are not going to solve themselves. And some of them, you know, may be man-made and we can address them through social change or government or education, but there is also a great potential that they're going to be natural. And we need to be prepared.
Right. And I tend to believe in the natural possibilities.
Yeah, well, we are going to get some very significant alignments of planets coming up in the next 2 years. And, you know, we know how the moon affects the Earth by causing the tides to rise and fall.
Earthquakes during full moons and new moons.
Correct. Well, when you start lining up 5 and 6 planets all in a direct line, mm-hmm. including the moon, you're putting a tremendous amount of gravitational pull on one side of the Earth. And that's what causes these plates to move. And when they move, that's where you get volcanoes and earthquakes.
Now, do you believe that was the real science part of it? Now let's get into some of the ancient civilizations.
Okay.
Did the various groups that you've mentioned, the Mayans, Chinese, the Hopis, Jewish folks, Israelites, I guess, from the ancient era, Hindus and Egyptians, did they all know this, that these changes could occur?
Definitely. They were aware of the 26,000-year orbit and that we are coming up to one of the apexes. And that's essentially what they all made us aware of, you know, and the Egyptians especially, because the Egyptians, well, they were all pretty big astronomers, and they really understood the cycle and the movement of the solar system inside the Milky Way galaxy.
But they had no equipment. They had no telescopes.
Well, but they also had no lights and very little fire. And so back in ancient times, when it was really, really dark, the sky was tremendously alive and much more easy to see than it is today.
Well, it's like looking at stars when you're out on a lake, right?
Right, exactly, yeah.
It's an incredible view. It really
is. But we have evidence all over the planet where they built observatories. They built their buildings and their temples in precise alignments with planets, with the cycles of planets. The Mayan, in particular, were fascinated with Venus. And so they built most of their monuments to coincide with the rising and the setting of Venus in the morning sun. And actually, the transits that are happening, there are big transits leading up to December 21st, 2012.
Do any of these ancient civilizations not agree with each other? Do they conflict at all?
No, not as far as the time. They all say winter solstice. But as far as what's going to happen, there is some disagreement. You know, a lot of it's myth, and so therefore it's subject to interpretation. But collectively, they definitely say that it's like a time of great, great population and great unrest amongst the people and amongst the government. And they also say it's a time of great heat and hot, which is going to affect the crops and the food production and the water, and that there is going to be a need. You know, there is going to be more people than there is food and water.
Are you convinced that something earth changes will occur?
Yeah, I do believe that there will be significant events that are going to require us to adjust. Yeah, it's not going to be business as usual into the future. We can't sustain this.
No, we can't.
When you look at what's been happening recently, and just with the tremendous population, it just becomes such a burden. And then, you know, another one of my pet peeves, and I mean, if you want to talk about how we utilize our resources. The amount of money that the United States of America spent rebuilding football and basketball stadiums in the late 80s and 90s, you could have repaved every road in the United States.
That's true.
You know, you could have fixed every pothole. And when you look at, you know, how we use our resources and what we think is valuable, you know, there's a disconnect there. And it shows that the people who are making these decisions are not really metaphysically evolved.
Well, yeah, but we both know that sports keeps the population occupied, right?
Yeah, it's a great pacifier. That's correct, yeah.
It calms them down, at least, you know, if you're on the winning team. but that's exactly what it is. It is become a pacifier for the population.
Well, and, you know, it has been in the past as well. And I'll take you on a little trip here back in Mayan time. The Mayan ball game that was played in a rectangular court.
Wasn't the ball a head?
Well, in the original myth, the ball was the head of the first father, and the game was played by his sons, who were the twins. And that's explained in the Mayan Bible, or their version of the Bible, which is called the Popol Vuh. But the point that I would make is how significant this is in their culture, is that all of those ball courts are lined up in a precise alignment with the stars and the planets. And the goal represents the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and the ball represents the sun. And so the winning team was the first team that could knock the sun through the center of the Milky Way galaxy, essentially creating.
All right. Well, you
December
hold on.
December 21st, 2012.
We'll get to the rest of this when we come back. Hey, next hour we'll take phone calls with Zenithin. Your calls. By the way, if you're looking for a great gift, here's an idea for you: the After Dark magazine. You can just order it and have it sent straight to the person you care about, and they'll really enjoy it. You can order it by going online at coasttocoastam.com, or you can simply call this brand new toll-free number, 1-888-261-6392. It's 1-888-261-6392. Tell me a little bit about the foundation, ogfoundation.org.
Okay. Well, the OG stands for One Good, and the idea is that we're all in this boat together. We're all human beings living on planet Earth, and also the animals and other spirits that dwell here with us. And we need to really understand that and respect it and take care of it. You know, part of the problem with the current world is that instead of being custodians of the Earth, we are the owners and the exploiters of the Earth. And that's what really has to change in this metaphysical evolution. And the OG Foundation is something that put together with several like-minded people and created a not-for-profit educational foundation that, you know, we are seeking to get our funding put together. And then we will create an entire group of classes and seminars to teach this to adults as well as to children.
Do you come across anybody that is resistant to this kind of change or to fix themselves up?
Well, yes, of course. Yeah, there are a lot of people in today's world that are invested in the status quo, and you know, it's very good to them, and so therefore they perpetuate it.
Or give us some examples on how you could get people to change.
Well, normally, again, all change has to take place from within. It's an individual choice.
Yes.
But those people who decide to change, who decide to improve their lives, become healthier, happier, higher functioning people, can do so through, you know, simple techniques that have been handed down over the ages, like meditation and yoga and eating better foods. And just connecting in a more positive way with your environment. And at a higher level, that requires some changes in beliefs and belief structure. And therefore, it also moves people closer to the truth. So in modifying your belief structure and learning about what is true and then believing in it and acting according to that truth, you will get stronger and healthier, live longer and be happier in your life. And by doing so, again, you know, we develop the individual and that affects society.
Is it easier to change teach younger children as opposed to an adult who's already set in their ways?
Yeah, it is, certainly. And children also have the intuitive aspect where, you know, they're born in one particular state, and then they are actually taught to ignore their intuition and go more towards learned things that they're told are true, which may or may not be true. Because those of us that have been educated in the United States and have gone through the system, you know, a lot of things that we were taught that were true in the fourth and fifth grade, by the time you got to high school, realized that it didn't exactly happen that way, and things weren't always so black and white.
No, that's true.
But one of the things that I want to point out, and I want to give you a tremendous amount of credit for this, George, is that the time, you know, we talk about these times changing and moving towards 2012. Well, one of the positive aspects to this is there are more people that are moving in metaphysical evolutionary directions. And there are more people that want to talk about the spiritual side of their lives and more people that want to talk about these personal experiences. And your show And your ability to talk to people is really facilitating that. And I think that's a healing and a very healthy process.
You know, that could be a reason why it seems to be growing by leaps and bounds over the last few years. This acceptance for people who want to change, you know, and no matter where they are, they could be police officers, they could be cab drivers, they could be nurses in hospitals or doctors, people at home. People want to change.
Yeah, and because we're in this time and more people want that, there are more offerings and more people coming together for spiritual growth and for community, and there's more being offered out there. So that's why, you know, I want to encourage anyone who wants to make a change and make a decision to just go out there and see what's happening in the world outside your front door, because there's a lot of people out there that are feeling and thinking the same way that we are. And you open that door a lot with your show and to your audience.
Well, there will be this awakening, whether it's emotional, spiritual, or just knowledge. It's going to happen.
Right. And you know, one of my biggest joys in writing the book is, and it's a short book. It's only 100 pages. It's meant to be a very quick read. But I will tell you that, you know, it reprograms your brain after you finish reading it, which is a good thing. And I've had a couple of people, the minute they finish reading it, they call me up and they say, I got it. I finally got it. I finally understand, you know, why.
Well, just, there you go.
It doesn't answer everyone's question, and it's not the you know, the do-all and be-all, but it puts people on that path.
Well, it does, and I'll take it. Now, let's talk about a couple more possible earth changes, because I want everybody to understand what they could be getting into and to prepare themselves for it, too. We're seeing, let's push global warming or climate change out the window for now.
All right.
We are seeing weather changes, and it's huge. Whether it's earthquakes, you name it, it's happening. Do you anticipate it's going to get worse?
Yeah, I do anticipate that it will get worse. And we have actually had a couple of very significant events, but because we live in North America, they haven't affected us directly. And in particular, the two earthquakes in Chile, which the first one was a 9.5, and then they had like a 7.5 aftershock, which, you know, a 7.5 is a big earthquake in and of itself. Okay? But just so people can understand how planet Earth is actually a living thing, that earthquake has changed the orbit of Earth around the sun, and we have actually moved closer to the sun as a result of that geothermic activity. Okay, now moving closer to the sun logically just makes it hotter. Okay, and it is a possibility, and I'm not, you know, predicting anything here, I'm just projecting logically. But if we have a couple of major events in this 2012 time frame where we have more volcanoes and earthquake activity, we could affect the orbit of the Earth around the sun to the point where, for example, there would no longer be a leap year, because we would no longer have to make up that extra day every 4 years, because now the Earth goes around the sun faster.
So what do we do with people born on that leap year? They have no birthday.
Yeah, that's
for them.
The joke.
Right?
No, they'll still exist.
It is all done indeed. And this is fixable. I think people can start working on their own little island.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And you know, the reason that we're put here on planet Earth is to love and to be happy. I mean, that's really the message that we are given from a very early age. And those are the things that we should really pursue, is happiness and love. But love does not come from being selfish. You have to give in order to receive love.
Yet at the same time, you cannot take it for granted that there are other people out there that want to take advantage of you, literally cut your throat. And you got to be prepared for that.
Yeah, and that's and therein lies, you know, that's the one of the hurdles in getting from where we are now to where we want to be. You know, in my professional career, I used to work in change management and information technologies. I've done a couple of very major projects where all of the computer systems for an entire movie studio were changed.
Mm-hmm.
And the most difficult part of that was not programming the computers, but it was retraining the people to work with the new system.
And that's part of the problem now with people who are losing their jobs because they're not trained for the new age.
That is correct. And not only that, but they're not even thinking about training them for the new age. They're just saying, oh, here's some unemployment and best of luck to you.
And then once it runs out,
you're
up the creek.
That is correct, yes. And therefore, you know, again, back to this best and brightest and highest on the evolutionary ladder. And, you know, supposedly we're in the United States of America, which has the, you know, the leaders of the world. Well, where's that leadership? You know, where are they now? What are they doing? You know, that there just seems to be a tremendous amount of a lack of interest in helping out the individual American citizen. It's more about protecting the institutions and perpetuating the government. And, you know, that is not what the United States of America was really founded on. That's not what the United States of America was about. This is about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of individuals.
Let's talk for a moment about the New World Order.
Yes, sir. But,
are you
know,
convinced?
I will... Let me just say as a caveat, because this is the world we live in, my foundation is an educational foundation, which is not for profit, and I have been approved by the IRS. And so therefore, one of their big caveats is you cannot be political. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we are discussing this politics in a theoretical
viewpoint. All right. Without specific opinion.
That's right, because I don't want to get shut down.
Right. So let's assume, hypothetically, that there is this new world order out there.
Yes.
That wants to control, manipulate.
Right.
If it exists, I like this, by the way, if it exists, how do you stop it?
Well, again, you know, politics is moved by pressure and also by money. And, you know, the political machine is very expensive now, and really, you know, international corporations have far more reaching, shall we say, policy making than the actual than the governments do. And so, therefore, people have to collectively band together and vote with their pocketbooks and really actively pursue government changes.
Well, you know, a change is a-coming.
Because if you don't, yeah, but you're right, it is a-coming. And again, I'll go back to my initial statement, I want evolution, not revolution. Because there is a great potential that there is going to be some... a lot of unrest as the division between rich and poor gets wider and wider and wider. And then people who are desperate will do desperate things.
They always did, and they always will.
They always did, and they always will, and they always react to injustice.
If you were asked to join this group of 5,000 and live underground because of an impending catastrophe, would you go?
Well, see, as a human being, as a Homo sapien, and my desire is to life and propagate and to, you know, fight against all odds to live, I probably would accept the invitation. But then again, if I wasn't, if I didn't have access to that, I would engineer as best I could a survival situation, because that is the nature of life. Life wants to live. You know, life will find a way.
If you could not take your loved ones with you, I'd stay behind.
Well, as you, there is the definition of life. And yeah, those of us who really believe in the soul and the soul transcending individual lifetimes, I could certainly understand that. And I could respect that position. You know, you're a man who loves his family and loves that. That's life to you. You know, and I know people, elderly people that are, you know, terminally ill, that just say, you know, this is not life anymore.
Exactly. That is so true. Look, if people want more information on your foundation, what do they do?
Well, they can visit our website at ogfoundation.org, and I can be reached by email at ogfoundation@aol.com. And one other thing that I'll mention, too, because we haven't really talked about this, but there's also a very big Native American aspect to my research and the foundation. And we are students of Black Elk, and one of the people that is in our organization, Veronica Brown, her father was Dr. Joseph Epps Brown, who wrote several books on the Lakota Sioux religion and mythology, and wrote a book with Black Elk called The Sacred Pipe, which documents Native American spiritual religious beliefs, which I think is something that we need to get back to, we need to be aware of, because they teach this philosophy of being custodians and, you know, having it be a privilege to live on the earth and a privilege to be able to experience these things and not to just exploit it and turn it into some kind of profit.
Yet they believe in an apocalypse, don't they?
Well, they certainly faced their apocalypse. But the reality is every society, one aspect of them, or you can find a percentage of them, that believe in some apocalyptic story. You know, and that's been true since almost the beginning of time. You know, they thought the world was going to end in 1000 A.D.,
mm-hmm. And then every civilization.
Yeah, every civilization has their own, you know, beliefs about that. Now, one of the interesting things that I'll point out regarding the Mayan is that in the Mayan calendar is in what's known right now as the acceleration. And this is when time is going to move very fast and things are going to happen almost faster than people can grasp them and realize. And in their calendar, they actually predicted that this was the year that we would be contacted by alien life. Now, you know, where they came up with that and what they based that on, I have no idea, but it is well documented in their prediction that that will be one of the things that happens prior to the winter solstice.
And do you agree with that?
Well, you know, the whole alien life thing is a topic unto itself. I mean, there's enough evidence out there to say that we already have been contacted by alien life, but nobody wants to admit it. I mean, and you're the expert on that. What do you think, George?
Well, I think we've been visited.
Okay, all right.
I got into a massive discussion earlier today and explained to a dear friend of mine who owns a restaurant here in St. Louis about it, and I think he's now a believer. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls with Zenith Inn on Coast to Coast AM. The lines are open right now.